Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we're going to talk about Deuteronomy chapter 14. And today on Through the Word, it's time to eat. Here's an amazing truth. If you only take one thing away from Deuteronomy chapter 14 today, it's this. It comes right after Deuteronomy 13. In fact, the weird thing is that this is true of every single chapter in the Bible. Can you believe me yet? It comes right after the one before it. Now, I know that's not a mind-blowing truth, but maybe we should remember what we read since these chapters weren't in the original text, or at least these chapter divisions. You see, the chapter divisions were inserted by a French guy who wrote them in order to kill time riding horseback in a rainstorm. What? That's right. They didn't have cell phones in 1205, so these were inserted by this French minister. And with the insertion of chapters, although they're very helpful for Through the Word, they actually sometimes cause us to miss the flow of the text. In other words, what comes today actually flows directly out of what you should have read yesterday. Okay, so what was it in Deuteronomy 13 that we need to remember today? Well, that chapter was all about how they shouldn't worship other gods or follow people who tell them to. So chapter 14 continues that theme about keeping them separate from people who do. So when Moses tells them what they can and can't eat, it's a way of making sure in this chapter that they can't go to dinner with the surrounding pagan people. Now, it's okay for you to go to dinner with non-believers today. In fact, that's preferable. One of the gifts that an elder has to have in the New Testament is the gift of hospitality, because conversations equal conversions. But back then, if you went to dinner with a pagan, the booze was going to flow and the clothes were going to come off. In other words, they were going to bust out into a full drunken orgy of pagan worship, because that's how the pagans do. No joke. Being invited to dinner usually meant dedicating the food you're about to eat to a pagan god, and that usually meant dedicating the wine you were going to drink as well, which usually led to getting naked, and then what you did after that was even dedicated to that pagan god. And all of this was considered worship. That's why in verses 1 through 2, God tells them, you need to look different. But then he tells them in verse 3, you need to eat different. And for Pete's sake, keep your clothes on when you do. So if you're planning on eating a large variety of owls anytime soon, well, if you were an Israelite, that was right out. You go ahead, but they couldn't. And don't even think about eating a bat if you were an Israelite back then. Nope, not going to happen, my friend. Not under my roof. Not while you're trying to follow Yahweh. Finally, the third section from verse 22 through 29 has to do with separating their money to pay for the worship of God. After all, if there's owls, bats, and lobsters being eaten in a drunken orgy going on, then the worship of God has to be able to compete. There's going to need some money for this future temple, right? If they didn't separate their money or produce to the worship of God, there wouldn't be much substance to make it happen when they settled down in the promised land. Every car needs to have gas in the tank, and God was telling them, save it up. You don't have a place to give to now, but I need you to eat it as an act of worship. They don't have to offer any of their children. In fact, they get to keep 90%, and God only takes 10%. And if you think about it, compared to the other gods who wanted to eat your babies, God was a pretty cheap date. Not only did you offer the food to him, you got to eat it afterwards, and that was worship. So far, that sounds like a pretty good deal, and it also sounds like a picture of a God who loves you and wants to bless you. Instead of waking up thinking the morning after, hey, what did I do last night? How did I wake up with this person? Why are there owls in my bed and feathers in my mouth? And how did I lose my pants? Why does my mouth taste like roadkill? And why does my head feel like it's going to explode? How much, after all, did I drink? And what did I say to Hutan? Okay, I made up the name Hutan, but you come up with a better pagan name. But instead of waking up like that, after going to Funky Town all night, they were to eat the fat of the land on a regular basis, drink the sweet wine it produced, enjoy the wives of their youth, and worship God in thanks and awe that He'd given them a good life. You see, God wasn't giving them a raw deal. He was teaching them how to enjoy the good stuff without having the consequences of going too far. You see, anything in life is good, so to speak. Sex is good if it's kept within the bounds and confines of marriage. Eating is good. You just don't want to eat so much you pop. A little bit of wine is okay, but the Bible says don't get drunk. You see, all of these things were meant to be enjoyed. And God was a God who wanted to bless them and wanted them to enjoy. But He didn't want them to go through the heartache and the agony that people repeat every single weekend when they live to excess and they end up breaking their lives because they go too far. So let's back up for a second and reimagine how this all worked. Number one, they knew that people were Israelites by how they dressed. That would tell you who they worshiped. But then on top of that, if they were invited somewhere to eat, and it was a pagan, they had to stay away from the certain types of food that were offered to pagan gods. Therefore, this also would be a deterrent and would keep their noses clean. So if pagan Bob stopped by and said, "Hey, come on over to the house this weekend. Me and the pagan family are going to fry up some wombat and barbecue some lemming." You'd have to say, "I'm sorry, you know, we don't eat that. We don't even eat bat anymore. You know, we're Jews and, well, we have a pretty strict diet. But hey, thanks for the invitation anyways." Whew, dodge that bullet. But listen to this. In verse 21, it says, "You shall not eat anything that is dyed naturally. You may give it to the sojourner who is within your towns, that he may eat it, or you may sell it to a foreigner, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God." So not only were they set apart by what they ate and didn't eat, but it was also a way of having an abundance of things that they could give and offer to other people, people that were hungry who came through their land. And verse 21 illustrates what we're talking about. It seems like a really random verse, and to be honest, when I was young, I used to jokingly quote this at my friends by going up to them randomly and saying, "Hey, I have a verse for you." And I would quote Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 21, "You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk." And then I'd walk away, leaving them stunned and wondering why in the heck I'd shared that verse. It may have seemed funny at the time, but now looking back, I realized that not only was it a little bit irreverent, but it also missed the point. You see, I couldn't figure out why a verse was like that in the Bible, why it was in there to begin with. But that was actually a fertility ritual that the pagans had, where you would take a young kid or a baby goat and boil it in the mother's milk as a fertility ritual. So just remember that sometimes you don't always understand the culture and why God is saying what He's saying. Nonetheless, I hope you enjoyed Deuteronomy 14. Read it today, and as you do, remember, don't boil a kid in its mother's milk.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.